Project Independence is the Aging in Place initiative of the Town of North Hempstead. One of the many services we offer is help at home with minor home maintenance. Call 311 or 869-6311 to get more information or receive services.
Welcome back to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. This is Project Independence and You. I'm your host, John Ryan, and my co-host today is Otto Loos.
We're zipping along here, John.
Really is zipping along, and that is in part because we have Robert Zimmerman with us, who is just, you know, going back to his company, which is ZE Creative Communications, but we're here with Robert today, which is a public relations firm, and he does work with Rexler, with Verizon, with the Port Authority, New York, New Jersey, with very, very significant high-end clients and smaller local clients. So it's not just it's not an elitist firm. He deals with helping everybody. But today we're talking more politics, and two people in my life that have become so impacted just because of what Otto was talking about. People are not even accepting reality. And then when you see something so blatant that you just want to shake your head and say, that's not real. How do you believe that? And yet you have people, you know, you see it on Facebook saying stuff and talking about things, and it's like, what planet do you live on?
You know, it's interesting. I find if you take the personalities away and just talk facts, you can build bridges with not everybody, but with a lot of folks. Because anyone who's got a grandchild with asthma or allergies, they're worried about the environment. They're worried about the air these children breathe or the water they drink. They're worried about whether they're going to be living next to a landfill or a sewer that's not treated. And so if you look at something like that, they're going to support environmental regulation. They're going to support environmental protections. So something as basic as that. And I think certainly amongst our viewers today, but I think most folks respect the idea, who are listening to us and watching, that science does matter. Doctors do count in terms of treating this pandemic. And yes, you've got folks out there who don't want to accept that and want masks to be a political message, but it's up to us to reinforce the point based upon what the scientists and doctors say, that you're not just saving, they're not just saving their own lives, they're protecting their families around them. They're protecting law enforcement on the street they pass. They're protecting them from contracting this virus. So facts do still count. If we can take the political personalities away and talk about the issues, I think people will find a way to come together.
Right, I'm agreeing with you there. And especially, you know, to talk very specifically right now about COVID, it doesn't hurt to wear a mask. I mean, it's the most amazing thing because the numbers are starting to spike again.
Sure.
People who, you know, are out and about without a mask or without social distancing. And the point is, why? Guess what? It's not nice being at home all the time. It's not nice, this social distancing, not seeing your kids and your grandkids or whatever it's going to be. But you don't want this to go on forever.
You know, so
there will be a vaccine. Go ahead, Robert.
You know, John, I know no one likes to be at home all the time. And I know what the burden is as a business owner myself for 33 years. We're working remotely. I understand the challenges we face. But I'll tell you, you talk to an Iraqi war, a Vietnam War, a Korean War veteran, talk to a World War II veteran, look at the sacrifices they made for our country. Our sacrifices are not as severe, relatively minimal. And in fact, if we don't make these adjustments, if we don't wear masks, we know what, we don't practice social distancing, don't wear masks, we're prolonging this pandemic, we're putting everyone at risk. And so I think it's, and you look at the record spikes taking place in states that are not practicing proper social distancing and not practicing mask wearing. You see record high spikes. New York has got a bit of an increase, Long Island does, but you can see under Governor Cuomo, County Executive Laura Curran, Supervisor Judy Bosworth, and certainly County Executive Steve Ballone, we're safer communities because we are, in fact, respecting what the doctors are telling us and being safer.
And it's very important. Actually, Steve Ballone, I don't mean just call him Ballone, Suffolk County Executive, he was on, I think it was yesterday or the day before, with two huge major outbreaks of COVID. I think one was from a wedding and one was from a party, but I think it totaled 50 or 60 people that and fines are going to be levied.
That's right.
And rightfully so. And that's not taking away one's freedom. You know, you look at this like, oh, you're taking away my freedom. That's not a freedom. You're taking away my right to exist.
That's right.
Not doing the proper thing. I should be able to go to the supermarket if we all wear a mask. That's not a civil liberty taken from you. That's just being kind. I look at it, you know, that's my opinion. But I mean, here now, Steve was on.
And just to go full circle, look at how, and this is really an important heads up, I think. The fact that we have a president who is not respecting science or the doctors, is putting out misleading information repeatedly to the public, mocking people who wear masks, saying people get sick with masks anyway, holding events where there's no social distancing and minimal mask wearing. You look at the kind of super spreader events he's creating, you see not just the threat he's creating to his own supporters who come out for him, and they have their right to rally for him, but look at the threat he's creating for them. But look at the harm he's causing our democratic process. And in many respects, the fact that he is, in fact, underfunding our post office at this critical time, he's not providing proper support for our election process, is in fact really putting at risk the right of people to vote. But it's not, and this is important, it's not because there's a grand conspiracy out there, as he claims, that voting by mail is a fraud. His own FBI director, for Christopher Wray, said there's no organized effort to defraud people voting by mail. Bill Evanina, who's the director of Homeland Security Election Security, said there is there's no evidence that voting by mail is being manipulated by foreign powers. People have to understand their vote counts. And it's so critical to vote and participate. And if they do, their vote will be counted. What I worry about in some parts of our country where the vote's going to be election, where the vote in the election's going to be close, will Donald Trump try to use this dishonest narrative about absentee ballots and voting by mail as a way of undermining the will of the people and trying to, what he can't win in the ballot box, win in the courts?
Robert, could I ask
that's
you?
Very interesting.
The background. A little bit of a nitty gritty question here. I've been voting for like 65 years, and I remember the paper with the strips, and you signed every year, and somebody had to take those pieces of paper and calculate them and do whatever. I'm just trying to visualize what takes place now. And as I see it, and maybe you could stop me, every county has a board of elections that has a database of voters who are registered, as I understand it. So if you do a mail-in or an early vote or you vote on election day, final votes will be marked off as having voted. Mm-hmm. And that database is collected in, let's use Nassau County or Broward County in Florida or wherever. And all of these counties ultimately have to send their summary to some central point where it's consolidated. Is that a kind of fact of life here? Because I think if that is understood by people, then there is a way to keep track of your vote and the fact that you've voted or you're not allowed to vote or whatever. What is the flow that really takes place?
Constitutionally, each state is allowed to run their own elections, if you will, and manage their own electoral process. So it varies, unfortunately, sometimes from state to state. Some states at one point didn't allow provisional ballots. For example, Otto, if you were to go vote and your name wasn't on the rolls for some reason, then what in fact would happen is you'd be given a ballot to fill out and the courts would adjudicate whether you were legally allowed to vote. Some states didn't have that procedure. Florida didn't have it in 2000. A lot of votes were lost for that reason. So they have provisional ballots. But when you go to vote, let's say you vote by absentee ballot, your name, your name is checked off when your ballot is mailed in. Let's say you get two ballots mailed to you at home. Well, obviously, if you send both back in, one's going to be ripped up and you'll probably go to jail for voting twice if it was done in deliberate violation of the law. But so there are different checks and balances in the system. but every region of the country is different. It is not unusual. I mean, the president talks about we may not know the results for weeks. Well, I still can't find that part of the Constitution where it says we have to know by midnight on election night or the day before on the networks or the day after on the networks. It doesn't work that way. The goal is not to get the votes counted fast, it's to get the votes counted accurately and completely. And there are many situations where it takes weeks or a month in House races, Senate races. And of course, we've had delays for president too that have gone on for in the Gore v. Bush for a month. So when you go to vote, the important point is making sure that if you're voting by absentee ballot, if you show up in the voting booth, if you vote early voting, you're checking off the fact that you voted. You're providing documentation when you go to vote that you voted, whether it's by mail or in person. And that then is acknowledged on the voter rolls. And then it's compiled in each region of the county, and then it's recorded statewide. So there's ample documentation in many parts of the country, though. And this is why protecting our democracy is so critical. Providing an infrastructure to support our election process is so critical. Because in many parts of the country, there aren't paper ballots to back up the machine ballots. What does that mean? That means that, let's say you vote on a machine, there's no paper ballot to back it up to document that was the way you wanted to vote. So you can't check to see if that was an accurate recording of your vote or not. In New York State, when we vote on paper and put it through a machine, so there's documentation. Many parts of the country don't have that. And that is a real liability. And of course, as I mentioned before, you've had 8,000 different voting facilities, voting organizations, county boards, town boards, and the like. And they're all very vulnerable to cybersecurity threats. So we really have to make a commitment, not to play politics with our election process, but to put our democracy above politics and protect it. That has not happened under this president.
Early voting, Robert, I think it ends on Saturday. Am I right?
I believe so.
I think it's happening. But here in North Hempstead, I voted yesterday or 2 days ago, whatever, in Roslyn. But it really is. It's a smooth operation. They're working. You had mentioned the Board of Election. They're working crazy hours because I was talking to them. You know, they leave there at like 6 o'clock whenever the polls close. They got to wrap up the stuff and take it to headquarters. Then they're there the following morning at 4:30 in the morning to get all the equipment, bring it back. Everything is set up every day because you can't leave it there overnight. It makes sense because if somebody got in to hack something, that the hours they put in. But, you know, I'm curious what's going to actually happen on election day. With all these people coming out now, election day could be nothing. It'll all be happening already.
That is something we should really focus in on because, and maybe a very good way to wrap up the show. I think we're due for a break because I think that issue of what election day foretells for us and how we guarantee the votes are recorded is critical.
We're going to come back to that. We're going to take our last break. You're listening to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. And we'll be right back with Robert Zimmerman.